You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident usual, Minister of Sinister.
Great of you to join us. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Give it up for the guy. The unusual suspect, if you will. And also, as a bonus, we also have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I just want to say, like, the last match I saw on Sunday, like, it was complete garbage, man. It was so garbage.
Ricky,
it doesn't matter what match it was just garbage. It was garbage. Who was
in the match? Yeah, just attacking right away. I like that. Also, guys, it's been a hell of a week for me. Nothing but rain. Rain continued today even. Just, it's not going to go away, I don't think, anytime soon. But I digress. We're still here, and when we're making it through, fuck it. It could be worse. But, man, there was a shitload of good wrestling over the weekend. I didn't get to watch it, but some of us did. And we're going to talk all about it. Christian from Philly, are you with us, my friend?
Yes, I am, dude. This past 48 hours has been fucking bizarre. Sunday was great shit, but Monday was the drizzling shits.
Oh, the drizzling shits, baby. Yeah, and I can attest to that. So, guys, birthdays this week. We have, we'll make it quick, too. We have, Cowboy James Storm. Cowboy James Storm, his birthday today. Yeah. His best shit when he does tag teams, I think. But, yeah.
Sorry. Not your damn luck.
Sorry. That you didn't make it to NXT. Sorry. About NXT.
Tomorrow we have the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. You can give it up for him.
Yeah.
Albert will also appreciate it. This is a double one. Albert, Lex Luger tomorrow. Give it up for Lex Luger. Yeah. Applause all the way around. Velvet Sky, is she the one that's with Bully Ray?
Yeah, Bully Ray.
Velvet Sky.
Happy birthday, Velvet Sky, but I told you before, I was a weird, for some reason, I was always a little bit of a Lex Luger mark, and this, of course, is before, the whole incident with Miss Elizabeth and his demons and all that stuff, but I was kind of the odd guy, because I was always a Sting and Luger fan, so we'll talk about the icon Sting later, of course, but yes, I was a big Lex, not a big, but it was a tiny Lex Luger mark back in the day.
Delusional Ray.
That's why I call Bully Ray, because he's delusional, saying that Charlotte Flair is the best women's wrestler in the world. Delusional, my friend. You are delusional.
Yeah, let's see. I think Velvet Sky, I think she was probably the nicer looking one. The other one looked more like Skeletor. Face kind of sunk in and shit. But all right, so let's see here. I think that's it. Ahmad Johnson and Drew McIntyre later on this week. And ODB. You guys remember ODB?
Yeah.
And, of course, Superstar Billy Graham, June 7th. And Mick Foley, June 7th. So happy birthday to everybody. No. Gonna go into our history segment right away so we can get that out of the way. Get rolling through this show, man. And yeah, we have a very interesting week in history. Let's see here. It was 9 years ago today.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, not 9 years ago. What am I talking about? 12 years ago. 9 plus 4? Yeah, 12 years ago today. It was from San Diego. It was ECW presented One Night Stand where Jeff Hardy defeated Umaga in a False Count Anywhere match. The Big Show defeated CM Punk, Morrison, Chavo Guerrero, and Tommy Dreamer in a Singapore Cane match to earn an ECW championship.
What an awful pay-per-view.
John Cena defeated John Bradshaw Rayfield in a First Blood match. I remember this pay-per-view. Beth Phoenix defeated Melina in an I Quit match. Batista defeated Shawn Michaels in a stretcher match. Triple H defeated Randy Orton in a Last Man Standing match to retain the WWE Championship. And Edge defeated The Undertaker in a tables, ladders, and chairs match to win the vacant World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
I don't think that was an ECW branded one, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, it was just One Night Stand. It wasn't ECW.
It says
it was a continuation of that, but not really.
According to the article brought to you by Cage Side, it was ECW presented One Night Stand, and it had the WWE Network link.
Well, that's wrong because ECW wasn't even – there was no ECW wrestlers that were wrestling in that fucking interview. That's wrong. Oh, I'm a dreamer.
ECW.
CM Punk
is
an ECW wrestler.
Yeah, that's it. CM Punk, that's it. Like, fucking Batista, Undertaker, Edge, like – Tommy Dreamer, like, it's so only two superstars from ECW wrestled in an ECW pay-per-view. Wow, it's certainly ECW, isn't it?
Punk doesn't really count as ECW wrestling.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So that's garbage. Here's something else that's interesting.
It was great. Listen to the card. It's not garbage. That's a badass card.
It is a badass card.
Badass show.
It is a badass card. The card itself sounds fucking sick.
The card was good, but the matches were boring. The card was good, but the matches were boring.
But let's see. 7 plus 4 is what? 11. So 11 years ago today, Wade Barrett wins the first season of NXT.
Yeah.
Fucking Wade Barrett. So then I clicked on a video and I saw the transformation of Wade Barrett from the beginning. He was in WWE for quite a few years.
He was in WWE in 2010.
Even before that.
Yeah.
And so...
Should have been a huge star.
He won, by now he'd be up there with Drew McIntyre and shit, running the whole show. But I don't know what happened to him.
Here's the problem with the concept of NXT back then, with the whole seasons and the competition bullshit. It was all pointless because the whole thing was about only one superstar gets a contract in the main roster. Motherfuckers, everybody, even if you lost the competition, they still went to the main fucking roster.
Tough Enough did the same thing. It was usually the runner-up from Tough Enough would get the WWE career, and the winner would, like, flounder or whatever.
Yeah, but you know what?
American Idol, too. Like, the second-place winner in American Idol always does better than the first place.
Yeah, that version of NXT to me is totally different from this version of NXT. It was just they had the name and the logo, and they just transferred it over to FCW, you know, and started using that brand. Like they had already owned the name NXT, and it just seemed like they just switched the name to something else.
And Triple H always said it was my vision for Time the game.
That's exactly what it was, and that's exactly how it went down.
I think it fell in his lap.
Yeah. And so the whole thing, it's much different now, and we're going to get into that as well. So let's see here. We had 3 years ago, 7 years ago today, WWE presented Payback, and this was at the Allstate Arena in Illinois. And check out this card. In the pre-show, hair versus mask match. El Torito defeated Hornswoggle. And Sheamus went on to defeat Cesaro to retain the WWE United States Championship. And Ryback, remember Curtis Axel, who was supposed to be great? Ryback, who now has, I guess, a podcast, he's still trying to linger on, defeated Cody Rhodes and Goldust.
Well, that sucks. That match sucks. Get
the fuck out of here. Yeah, I think that's like, you know, one of those missed booking opportunities. Cody Rhodes and Goldust never really, I don't know, I thought it could have been better for them.
Man, no,
they didn't even have that.
The opposite, Chuck.
They didn't have that feud, though.
Cody Rhodes and Goldust are one of my favorite all-time tag teams, and I think they were better when they were Cody and Goldust than they were when they were Stardust and Goldust, but I still love the Stardust gimmick, too.
Yeah.
I think those guys as a tag team, and they're on their way out whenever Cody and Dusty got fired, and Cody cuts that promo where he walks out. I've talked about it on here before, but that whole era is, like, one of my favorite eras.
Miro defeated Big E Langston. No, I'm sorry, just Big E. Via submission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's okay. I don't even remember that match.
Bo Dallas and Kofi Kingston fought to a no contest, and Bad News Barrett.
Awesome.
Bad News Barrett once again. This time he's Bad News Barrett. Defeated Rob Van Dam to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Yes.
All you need to remember from that that one match, Christian, Miro versus Big E, is that there was a lot of big oily guys screaming. That's what it was.
Yeah.
This
is forgettable. These feuds are forgettable. Who defeated Rob Van Dam?
So let's see here. That was Bad News Barrett defeated Van Dam.
Okay. Well, that sounds about right.
You know,
it does. Rob Van Dam was the guy that came back in to do the job and shit like that, and that's what happened.
It makes sense,
John Cena,
that the pay-per-view.
Yeah, go ahead.
It makes sense that the pay-per-view was called Payback because all the fans that bought tickets or pay-per-views probably had to get paid back, you know, money back.
Listen, we all know there's only one fucking match that matters in this fucking pay-per-view. We all know this.
And it was fucking John Cena who defeated Bray fucking Wyatt in a last man standing match. And I remember I was on some fucking podcast afterwards talking shit about how fucking Bray Wyatt was a fucking jobber to the stars, and that's all he was ever going to be.
That's not the match. That's not the match I'm talking about. We all know the real match that was the match of the night in that pay-per-view.
The Shield?
The Shield versus Evolution. That was the match of the night.
Oh,
yeah, I remember that night now. I remember that match for sure.
Yep. The Shield,
the best match
Roman Reigns, Dean Roman Reigns, John Moxley, and Seth freaking Rollins defeated Evolution, Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton 3-0 in a no-holds-barred elimination tag match.
That's the only match they remember in that pay-per-view. That was the only match that mattered. Fuck the rest of the card.
Rollins eliminated Batista. Ambrose eliminated Orton. And Reigns eliminated Triple H. So,
which,
yeah.
Once again, begs the question. Will we see a Shield reunion in WWE in our lifetime?
No.
OG,
I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
No.
Depends.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. You think John Moxley's going to turn down the paycheck he's going to get for that small run at the end of his career? Hell no.
He turned
that all down to, like, he went to AEW to be himself. He wanted to go over there. He wasn't getting anything.
Well, he's doing that. He's also creating his brand, and then WWE is going to eventually want to expose that brand and try to milk out that brand for some more.
Yeah,
you know, dinero.
Exactly. Everybody's got a price.
Okay.
Goddamn right.
You know.
Yeah, you know what?
You're a future main eventer. You know your future main eventers when Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista puts you over not one pay-per-view but twice in a row. You know you're fucking megastars.
Yeah. But, I mean, look at these guys. I mean, those three guys on top of the wrestling landscape now. But you know what? It's like the whole, like, Eric Bischoff, Brian Pillman type thing. You know, in a couple of years, Moxley can go back to WWE. He's going to have more creative control, of course, because of, you know, it's
right.
Like he has to, like, prove himself just a little bit. He's going to get paid a hell of a lot more, and he's going to have fucking creative control over his character because they're going to trust him, you know, of course, with getting over. Because WWE does trust some people with creative control over the character, namely these days, L.A. Knight. You know what I mean? He has a lot of control over his character right now. And, I mean, there's just a few other guys, too, you know, and CM Punk's one of them, too. It's going to be one of those things where it's like he's going to come back. He's going to headline WrestleMania, probably. I don't know. I'm calling this out. Don't call me to call out this one.
Do you think eventually Vince acquires AEW?
Fuck no.
John Moxley's like back in his same thing, and he's like losing his mind.
They bury him. Just
and, like they're
WWE.
All like everybody that left WWE to go to AEW, and now they're back. And then
they just get buried. And
Cody Rhodes is there. Too.
They rehash the invasion angle.
Yeah,
but. No, they didn't do that. Yeah, they should rehash Invasion. That would be a really cool idea if that, you know, theoretically happens. But they didn't bury all the WCW guys when they came back. They didn't bury Hulk Hogan. They didn't bury Goldberg. I mean, Goldberg wasn't, you know, with WWF, but they didn't bury Hall and Nash and or any of those guys for jumping ship. If Vince sees money to be made, he's going to try to make money off of it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course
he's going to
bury.
Of course, they didn't bury the fucking NWO because they were part of the fucking clique. They couldn't bury them. They're different. They're part of the clique. It's different.
Well, who else came back?
Okay,
like,
so this is more
move forward.
Okay, after this one, this is an important question to you guys. Does AEW pose a threat to WWE?
Oh, hell yeah.
For Monday Night Raw, yes.
I think we're going to get
it tonight.
Hell yeah, they
it's going to have to get good. It's
going
to have to get
good. If they go against Raw, then definitely, yes.
They've got the Stinger, bro.
I see it.
We're going to have another war, another revolution.
Really, if you get enough eyes on the product, because I think maybe they got like half or something, I'm just estimating, they probably have half the viewership of WWE at this time. But you get enough eyes on the product, like me, like I wasn't really, I loved AEW. I watched, you know, the first pay-per-view, the before it was AEW, I watched, you know, a few of those. I've kept up with it here and there. But I watched last Sunday's pay-per-view, man, and let me tell you something, it really renewed my faith in wrestling. And last week, you know, I was talking about how I'm so fucking jaded. And I can't stand anything that's going on right now. And I watched that pay-per-view, and I enjoyed just about every bit of it, man. I really did. And you get enough people to just switch over and just give it a try, give it a chance. They're gonna end up beating WWE. It's gonna be another 83 weeks, if you will, but maybe longer. Who knows?
And guys, this begs the question, man. We just went over two different eras there in wrestling history, right? A few years apart from each other. Okay, and so I think it's actually fitting to compare to where we're at now. Which one of those three eras do you think is more intriguing? The one we're in now, the one, you know, with El Torito, or the previous one?
No.
The one with the Shield, or the one before?
I think the era right now is more intriguing because of how fucking terrible it is. The WWE side of it.
Because, you know,
it's intriguing. It's intriguing how fucking bad we've gotten to this point.
Kevin pointed out, that was a hell of a card. I mean, that's a star-studded card. The one with Jeff Hardy and the Big Show and Umaga and CM Punk and shit.
Yeah, because guess what? I just read right now my recommendation feud from Google that last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So, yeah. That's where we at right now, huh? That's where we at right now in the era, huh? Not even Roman Reigns, not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfuckers.
And
there you go. There you fucking go.
Still making money off those.
You know what Dynamite?
Where's the new Big Show? Like where does it go from there? Like you don't have any of that new talent to where people that ignites like the people would like get together. I don't see it. I don't see it personally within myself because I'm not a younger person anymore.
I've talked about this numerous times. This is me, my thing, you know, like the whole thing with WWE, like their stars are just like kind of lackluster. And they have a hell of a lot of talent, but I've heard from a guy who's actually high up there in WWE, that they're literally like they're trying to play the safe route. They're trying to have control over everything. That way things don't slip up for Universal or just their stockholders in general. So they would rather have everything kind of be okay in their eyes. I'm not saying it's okay and an okay product right now, but they would rather have everything kind of be okay as opposed to having some really like fucking horrible or not horrible shit, but like
scandalous
shit. Out there shit. Really,
someone gets hurt. Someone gets really offended. They do something really wrong.
Yeah, they would rather be mediocre right now. The company wants to be mediocre as opposed to push the limit.
Mediocre.
Like, how far can you push the limit?
Pretty much what it is. Yeah,
it's not mediocre. It is horrible.
Christian would agree.
Mediocre.
Christian would agree that you don't need trash TV to make wrestling interesting. You don't need them to be sleazy or sad people really getting hurt or fighting hard. You just have to have
good
stories.
Just make sure you don't have fucking repeatable matches every fucking week. And make sure the storylines are fucking interesting. That's all there is to it. It's not that fucking hard.
I completely agree with that. I'm just saying, at what point do we get back to whenever Bret Hart has Stone Cold bloodied in the face and, like, you feel his fucking pain?
There's moments like that. I think they still do moments like that, but they're not looked at like that right now. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, Sheamus was all bloodied up with Humberto Carrillo, who fucking took a big chunk
there's
out
like
of his
There's, like, shit happening on TV right now that we're critiquing and saying is – there's stuff and wrestlers out there right now that we're saying aren't good that in 10 years are going to be Hall of Famers, that they're going to have a playback of that moment and be like, this was the baddest ass moment whenever this happened, whenever Jey Uso didn't tap out to Roman Reigns or whatever happened, you know?
Yeah.
When the Chief ran that whole year, when the Tribal Chief was ran through everybody that whole year, 2021.
I think it's a badass
fucking moment.
Real quick, that moment with Stone Cold Steve Austin all bloody in the ring with a sharpshooter from Bret Hart actually happened during the lamest period of WWF. You know what I mean? Like, the Attitude Era.
You make some valid points.
That was during like the Next Generation.
The Attitude Era was the fact that I was completely invested in it. I want to be invested in
that's the part. That's your responsibility too, to actually watch the product. You can't not watch wrestling and expect to like be invested in a story that you're just coming into the middle of. I watch every week if I can and follow up on the stories, and that's why the matches mean more to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this makes more sense. But Christian, of the stories too. Christian wants better story writing. He wants better storytelling. And to me, the storytelling is still good enough to convince me, yeah.
It's not good. The stories fucking suck. Half of them doesn't make sense. Some the faces and heels don't make sense. We're getting repeat matches every fucking week. It's fucking terrible. WCW 2000 wasn't even this bad. It was fucking awful back then, WCW, but at least it was like fresh matches every fucking week.
But you know what?
Fucking
I watched a little bit of some WCW from the year 2000 a couple weeks ago, and I was actually pretty impressed. You know, I was like, God damn, this is actually pretty cool. You know, even Mike Awesome, the Fat Chick Thriller, I mean, that was pretty fucking entertaining, you know?
Wrestling is good at its core. Like, any wrestling that you watch and just, like, suspend belief, you're going to enjoy it if you can.
Well, the basis of where we got off in this topic was talking about how mediocre it is and they're playing it safe right now and they're not willing to take a chance. Yeah. Or they're not willing to take chances. On something that would be, but it's not going to be like what it was in the
chances in different ways.
It's not going to be like what it was in the 90s, like completely different era, like completely different years.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, I'm not going to be that fucking 4-year old, like I'm not going to be in fourth or fifth grade and watch Stone Cold bloody his face and then I'm going to love it.
Which one are these
but
areas?
It's okay.
I feel
it's okay. But it's okay.
Or whatever.
But it's okay.
Stone Cold.
It's okay for Randy, but it's okay for Randy to fucking puke out fucking black blood out of his fucking mouth for 4 to 5 weeks.
That's what I mean. They still take risks, but they're not as big a risk. They take smaller risks like that that they can just like say, "Oh, it's make believe,"
and they should because like it gets hurt. Yeah.
But when they do try to take these risks a little bit in the last like year or two, it's so like over the top that it doesn't seem the same. Like the whole like two examples, right? Bray Wyatt getting burned alive, and then Rey Mysterio's eye, you know. This shit was just too over the top. Yeah, it was risque, but it wasn't like, you know, even like my fucking 10-year-old nephew who watches WWE religiously, he's like, oh, that's so fake. Oh, God, that's so fake. You know what I mean? It's not like the whole Stone Cold
imagine
Steve Austin, the sharpshooter thing, you know?
Yeah, if they'd have just had a puppet, if they'd had some kind of Bray Wyatt puppet that, like, could move, like, if they'd have just flailed the arms around a little bit while he was burning, people would have freaked out.
They should have just dropped Bray. They should have just had Randy push Bray down in a dumpster and then light the dumpster on fire.
Right.
See, that would have been cooler. That would have been way cooler. That would have been reminiscent of the Attitude Era. I was like, you know, like, is he really in there? You know what I mean? Like that type of like, you know,
it's not
suspense.
Fucking hard. I just came up with that. I just came up with that for like a few seconds. It's not fucking hard.
Yeah. Christian is a good booker. Christian knows how to
do it. Can anybody answer my question? I mean,
I was trying to, but like the three different eras, like they're two different, bro. It's like right now you could enjoy it because of how weird it is, or you could really fucking hate it. And for me, I'm kind of along for the ride, and just because the roster right now is stacked, the roster in the Attitude Era was stacked. The mid period, like the early 2000s and mid 2000s, kind of sucked of the most. That's bottom tier.
Oh, that was like the aftermath of like the mecca of how high they got. Like they're at like their pinnacle.
Yeah, I mean you can't forget SmackDown. There was a lot of stuff about those guys that bled into like 2009, 2010 era, but.
There's only so far you can fucking rise before it fucking falls down again, and then you rise back up again. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
The storytelling's weaker now than ever. But when I'm watching the product now, any wrestling I'm watching, like it seems like everybody's doing 110% in the ring. Like all the wrestling matches are actually badass. So that's what I'm hyped for lately, which is like the actual in-ring product is there.
I got something I want to say real quick. I want to have a special shout out to. R.I.P. Alexa Bliss's pig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So R.I.P. the pig.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll drink one for the pig.
What's the pig's name? Do we know the pig's name?
I think it's like Mr. Frankie. I think it's like Mr. Frankie or something. Don't quote me on that.
I don't know.
Mr. Frankie? Huh.
I was going to say pig Alexa Bliss.
I'll tell you what, though. I saw some pigs in the highlights of the pay-per-view. AEW's Double or Nothing, they were in a meat locker and they had some pigs. And we're going to get that after these words, so we're going to check in. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go into the AEW Weekly and shit. So, yeah, stay where you're at, and we'll be right back after these words on Tater Foy Radio. Yeah.
Yo, this is KVA West. You're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Come see you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly baby face, the all-knowing, well, no, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress. Tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
Fire cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Asher. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. It's great of you to join us tonight. Sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And guys, let me tell you what, man. We did have some great wrestling going on this weekend. And you know what?
Yep.
Come here to tell us about it, actually. We're lucky to have this guy, as you know. Christian from Philly, so yeah, here we go. And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
All right, you dickheads. All right, you bunch of cockroaches.
Oh, my God.
Sit around the campfire and I'll tell you a fucking tale. A tale of gambling. A tale of double or nothing. AEW, double or nothing. Fucking books. We start the show with the buy-in, the pre-show, with
Serena Deeb versus Rio, who is the NWA Women's Champion, by the way. The match was good. It was good. Rio, you know, Rio has a singles match and a pay-per-view since months. Last time she had a singles match was on the first pay-per-view for AEW, which was also Double or Nothing, so a little bit of history there. The match was good. Deeb defeated Rio to retain her championship. I give this match a B. It was decent. It was a good buy-in pre-show match. But that's not the type of matches you want to see. You want to get to the juicy bits. What are your thoughts on the pre-show match, first of all, Dolph?
I watched the match. I watched the match yesterday, and I think it was yesterday when we jammed. We were jamming, and we had the pay-per-view playing in the background, and we were all watching it while we were playing. It's pretty cool. If you play guitar, you should put wrestling on in the background. But we, they were all badass matches. Like, I didn't have any investment in them because I don't watch the weekly product. But like, the whole pay-per-view was pretty fun to watch overall. Like, it did feel like a big pay-per-view. So that was a good way to start.
Yeah. All right. Now
and
we start the match
girl,
up.
I remembered her from the first time I seen her, too, because I watched the early AEW more, so I did recognize Hero. Or what? I'm sorry, did I say the wrong name? Which one was it? Not the NWA
championship. What? It was the NWA Women's Championship, so. Doesn't matter.
It was for the title, too?
No, it wasn't. It was for the title, yeah.
Oh, cool.
She defended it, and she retained. Up next, we had the first opening of the match. We had The Machine, Brian Cage, versus Hangman Page. A little bit of Page Cage action. Hoss match between who could give the stiffest fucking clotheslines. So, how this feud happened, Brian... Taz is a little bit of jealous of Hangman Page, his success. So, he found out his big boy, his ace in the hole, so to speak, Brian Cage, to take out Hangman Page. What happens? It was a great match. Two hosses in the sport going at it, going to town, doggy dog. It was a dog fight. And they beat the shit out of each other. Cage did fucking great spots, and so did Page. But all in all, the winner was Hangman Page. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the signaling Brian Cage turning face.
Hey, man, what the fuck do you have on in the background, dude? You sound horrible back there, man.
That's not me. Are you talking to me?
I don't know. Somebody's got something. I thought it was you, no?
No, I don't have a TV on.
When you speak, it sounds like something fucking horrible is behind. Like, I don't know, man. Do you have a speaker on or something?
No, I don't have no TV.
I don't know. I mean, I have a fan on in the background, but it's like far away.
No, it's not that. It's not a fan, no. All right, anyway, go ahead.
All right, so Hangman Page defeated Brian Cage. And this is signaling a face turn between Brian Cage. I think Brian Cage is going to break away from Team Taz because all in all, I think Team Taz is the weak. Out of all the factions in AEW right now, Team Taz is the weakest. I have no hope for Team Taz, to be completely honest. I'm not buying into any of the faction members. I think they would be better off if they were all singles. So yeah, Brian Page is the first one to go. I'm going to call it right now. It's going to be Brian Page versus Will Hobbs in the next pay-per-view match. Calling it right now. Calling it like I see it. But all in all, it was a great match. I'm going to give this match a B also. So, gentlemen, what are your thoughts on the match? And could we see Brian Page break off from Team Taz?
So, when I started the pay-per-view, that was really the first one that I saw. And then later I went back and started it from the buy-in. That was the first thing I saw was Cage came out with, like, the robot suit on. He has, like, this fucking cyborg armor stuff on. And my wife seen it, and she was like, what the hell is that? And then I don't think you'd ever seen Cage before. You remember that? It was a big robot guy coming out? So she doesn't recall it. Yeah, she says she remembers. But so she never seen him before. The guy's literally one of the hugest wrestlers I've seen in years. He's just so stacked. And then he comes out dressed like a robot. It was super badass entrance. I'm a fan of, like, super cool costumes.
He looked like, and, like RoboCop or some shit?
He looked more like a T1 with the, like, half blown off or whatever. Like, you could see his face. Like, he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is funny because WWE's promoting the Terminator right now a lot, too. Or they said some Terminator references, too. I don't know what the deal is with that. He was on one of the video games. But anyways, I digress. Yeah, no, it's cool to see two guys just beat the hell out of each other, like you said.
Albert,
like,
who watched the thing from start to finish, I think he said. What were your thoughts on this match?
I thought it was great. I thought it was great, and I think if they play their cards right, because I wasn't a fan of Brian Cage in his Impact days, and I just thought he was just some fucking meathead. And I saw a couple of his matches, and I wasn't too impressed. And but you know,
his Impact run sucked.
Really, what's that?
His Impact run sucked.
His Impact run wasn't too impressive for me, but you know what? Like nowadays, and in this match, kick ass. He's really like working on his, like, I wouldn't say his ring work because his ring work's always been okay, but he's really working on the entertainment factor, and one of those things is coming out with that badass suit, which is immediately like just eye catching. I think if they play their cards right, Brian Cage could be like their, like, I don't want to say Brock Lesnar because I don't want to compare anybody to Brock Lesnar, but I think he could be like, you know, if he gets
type.
Like a movie deal, I think they should really push him to do like a movie or like a TV show or something, and like kind of off to the side a little bit, because I think that he can really, he's got the look to be like someone, you know, somewhat of a player in Hollywood, and then come back and forth to AEW, and
well,
I think that would help the company
to,
in the long run.
Aren't they supposed to be doing something soon with TBS? It's going to move to TBS?
Yes, it's going to move to TBS, but there's still going to be something to do with TNT, so guess what? They have two channels now, so guess what?
So that gives them a lot of room and opportunity to do shit like that, dude.
Yeah,
even if they're just made for TV movies, I mean, they'll still get some eyes on them.
The Miz.
All right, I did not watch the match, but I'm looking at some highlights right now, and they look badass.
Yes.
So the next match is for the AEW Tag Team Championships. It is the heels, the Young Bucks, versus Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston.
Yes.
How did this happen? Well, the Young Bucks turned on Jon Moxley in a six-man tag and said, "You know what?
Wait a minute. First of all, I gotta ask, when are they gonna fucking let Eddie Kingston wear some gold?
What? As soon as he gets good at wrestling, that's when they're going to give him the title.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Stop it.
So, Young Bucks turn on Jon Moxley because they said, well, fuck it. You know what? We're going to be healed anyway. So they turn on Moxley. They're with Kenny Omega again. Surprise, surprise. And the new Young Bucks just kind of looks like the old Young Bucks. So it's just Young Bucks. So the match was fucking phenomenal. Of course, the Young Bucks retained. Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston lost. And
where are they
going to
go?
No,
with just, you know, same old Bucks.
Right? No, this is the same
old
Bucks.
Are they not
this
the same
just,
old fucking Bucks?
This is the same
always
gimmick.
Been?
So just don't believe it's the new Young Bucks. This is the same gimmick. So
it's
don't
same
worry about
fucking
it.
Fucking Bucks, man.
Yeah, but the point is, the Young Bucks retained. It was a great match. Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, the feud's over between them, you know.
Boo.
Now we just have to wait and see who No, it's not boo. Now we just have to wait and see who the Young Bucks faces next. We have to see who faces them next. But it was still a great match. A lot of great spots. Even though Eddie Kingston was dead weight, you know, it was still a great match. I'm going to give this match an A. It was still a great match. Your thought on the match?
Oh man, let me tell you something. I'm digging the whole I like Eddie Kingston. I think his promos are fantastic. It's like Bret Hart said, you can have like one out of the three things, and if you do one exceptionally well, you can make yourself a name in professional wrestling. And Eddie Kingston's ring ability isn't that great, but that really doesn't matter because he looks and sounds – he doesn't look maybe, but he sounds like a dude who just wants to – like who wants to kick your ass. You know, he sounds like a legitimate smack talker. Like it's real
he
what
crazy.
I hear.
He's got crazy eyes. Crazy eyes.
And yeah. And he looks like a fucking, like just some fucking wise guy with the necklaces and the fucking stupid, you know, lines in his eyebrows, whatever. He looks like one of those dudes. He looks like he reminds me of like a fucking, I don't know, some sort of street rapper or something like that. I'm not saying all rappers are tough, but he looks like one of those fucking dudes that sounds like one of those dudes. But, and then mix in with the fact that they're him and John Moxley are coming out to Wild Thing, that version of Wild Thing. It reminds me of Major League. I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie Major League, because that's what it reminds me of. And I know it's an ode to the Japanese wrestler. I forgot his name, but in reality, it reminds me more of Charlie Sheen's character in Major League when he comes out and like everybody starts going crazy and he's like the pitcher that everybody's afraid of, you know, on the team, you know what I mean? And that chick she's in the box or whatever. She's like, I hate this fucking song, but she hates that character. But that character is a complete badass. So I think that's kind of what they're going for more. I mean, like that type.
You're in the right company because I love that movie.
Yeah. I knew that was right up Ricky Valley. That's his forte.
Well, I've been loving baseball more here lately, so like it's been getting into.
He's been on the baseball train too.
Yeah, especially since the Astros have been kicking ass, so that's another story. But you know,
hell yeah,
it reminds me of that, like that that badass that comes through the fucking, you know, he walks in through the fucking outfield. You know what I mean? That's John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Those are the characters. I give the match a fucking 8 out of 10.
The Astros are not kicking ass. I'm gonna say I gotta go on record saying they gotta get that fucking bullpen fixed, man. That bullpen is out of order right now.
You're talking my language right now, but you have your starters coming back in the lineup coming back right now, like you have your two IL people coming back and they're fucking wrecking.
They got to get somebody else. They got to get one more guy. They got to get one more guy in there, and they'll probably have to bring in somebody from the outside.
McCullers is going to come back, and everything's going
to
be fine.
Coming soon to World Generation Podcast Network, Ricky and Chuck Amok.
We're going to talk 30 minutes of baseball.
Don't get me started on fucking McCullers, man. I can't stand that guy.
He was pitching good.
Okay.
He's been pitching good.
Right now again too in the seventh inning, so it's 3-1 in the seventh inning, just in case anybody out there is wondering.
I'm actually about to leave the show so I can go watch the rest of the day.
Hey, I got a good idea. We know we're talking about baseball, and I know Christian's still doing the AEW report, but real quick, how cool of a storyline would it be if WWE was just like, we just signed a whole fucking baseball team to our roster, and you all of a sudden had like fucking 16 badass baseball dudes, like just ready to kick ass.
Does
and they were a faction of like, and they'll have bats. They'll
have bats. Did he even have the XFL?
That'd be crazy.
He sold the XFL. And rocked.
They could do a whole pay-per-view, and they could call it like the World Series or something.
You know,
like
they
They would call it the World Wrestling Entertainment Series, and it would be like a seven-match pay-per-view.
You know, failed
what would be good,
football
what
players.
What would actually be good is that if MLB like took up hockey rules and like fighting was allowed.
Oh man,
I think that would be legit.
Those Dodgers last week, right?
No, that's a little bit too
they did. They won the last game last week.
I'm talking about
no,
the
wait,
guy
guys.
In the stands who got his ass whipped.
That's a little bit too conservative even for me. This is what I want them to do. I want the fucking pitcher to be able to throw the ball at the guy when he's running it from base to base and shit. I want him to be able to fucking nail. If he can fucking nail him with that ball, he's out.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying.
The face is not, that is not safe.
No. You got to hit him below the waist. You got to hit him below the waist.
you could have
oh,
the packages if they invaded the
yeah, you gotta hit them
be called the umpire and the first baseman. Like they would just be, I'm the pitcher, and they'd be like, oh shit. And he's like a huge dude.
MLB, yeah, man. I'm like, you gotta make this shit more exciting.
Yeah,
you gotta make this shit more exciting, man, and that would be a great way to
back
do it. But
to
shit.
AEW,
yes.
Moving on.
Yes.
Moving on, we had the Casino Battle Royale, a Royal Rumble style match. You know, it's just a regular Battle Royale. You know, there's the Diamonds, there's the Jacks. The only highlight of this match was the surprise entrant and the winner. The surprise entrant was a debuting Leo Rush, who was let go of the WWE, I think last year.
Oh my God,
and
dude! Begs the question: a triumphant return of Lashley after his contract is up, with this huge stench of the WWE title on him. He goes back, goes to AEW, and gets back with Leo Rush. That was my first thought.
That.
Holy shit!
I don't want that.
I want it.
No, that's terrible. That's terrible.
I want it.
Well, it doesn't matter what you want.
It doesn't matter what
want. MVP is way better. MVP is way better for him. Leo Rush was cool when he was like a demon powerbomb.
Oh, yeah.
People,
but I'm not talking about, you know, right now. I'm talking about like when his contract is up. There's going to be a time when his contract is up and maybe MVP's contract is still going. Who knows? Moves are made, you know, and I mean, you know, I'm just saying. Leo Rush is over there right now. I mean, it could happen.
Leo Rush, I think he needs to. And I don't mean to go, but I think it was a great debut. It seemed like he's been hitting the ring a lot lately. I know he's been in Major League Wrestling. He's been wrestling on independents for the last year since he's been released.
And so he's the Joker now? And he's the Joker?
No, that's the gimmick of the battle right now.
Card.
That's the secret surprise.
Okay.
The wild card, if you will.
Yeah. So even though he debuted, he did not win, but Jungle Boy has won the Battle Royale, which means Jungle Boy has a future World Heavyweight title shot. Well, spoiler alert, he's not going to fucking win the title, so, you know, there's that. So this was the weakest match of the show, to be honest, because, you know, it's a Battle Royale, really. What can you do? There were great spots, but it was the weakest part of the show. I'm going to give it a C+. You know, it wasn't good, but it wasn't that bad. It was decent. But
how
it was
much
one
time
of the
did it take up? Do we know?
I don't know. There's 21 participants.
Yeah, it took up 31 minutes. I got it right here. 31 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, you said, about 30 minutes. But there was like four at a time or five at a time. So it wasn't like, you know, people like coming in at intervals. It was like
every 90 seconds.
Yeah,
was Leo
then, like,
was Leo the only big
No, wait a minute.
There was some like younger debuts, but not like big debuts. It was like, you know, there was a couple like guys from,
no, there was no, there was no debuts. These were the same people.
It was people from AEW Dark and stuff like that.
There was people
that
definitely didn't recognize.
Same people, yeah.
Like they didn't get like a pop, you know. You just like, oh, it's that guy. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck is that guy? Leo Rush got a pretty decent pop, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, there was another debut, but that happened later in the night.
Yeah, the World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry.
There you go.
World's Strongest Man, Mark Henry, is in AEW, ladies and gentlemen. We got the Big Show and Mark Henry, future World Tag Team Champions.
You think?
Probably.
Man, no, I think that they're just going to enjoy being backstage and being, like, colored to the, like, what the product is. Like, you can just, like, they can add to the mic. They can add backstage personality.
You could almost thank Randy Orton for this, you know. First he made Big Show quit WWE. Now he made Mark Henry quit WWE. Thanks, Legends Night.
on Raw.
But Mark really can't take any bumps. Like he's pretty beat up. I know it's not really talked about, but you know, from what I heard, you know, my cousin, you know, the one that I'm in the band with, he works for the Fox station out of Austin. And so they were doing some promos with him, and he was asking him, like, hey, man, like, you're going to get back in the ring? He's like, no, he's too beat up. And he can barely, yeah, like, walk down the stairs without, like, holding on to the railing, you know what I mean? Like, he was that – this was, like, a year ago, you know what I mean? He's too beat up. And so I don't see him getting in the ring anytime soon, if at all. But.
Yeah, well, give it time.
If you get a bunch of WWE guys as agents backstage, then the product's going to start looking like WWE. That's what they know.
Yeah, but then they'll still secret, you know, and it'll be great for AEW. It'll be great in the future. Don't worry. It was a great build-up. So up next, we had America versus British or England.
Christian,
I'm sorry.
Marking out. Christian over here marking out for AEW. It's a great build-up.
Yeah, it's all right. It's better than fucking last night's show, which I'll get to, all right? Listen, I told you the last 48 hours was bizarre, all right? So we get America versus London, you know? We had Anthony Ogogo. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Ogogo versus Cody Rhodes. Yeah, Ogogo. Anthony Ogogo versus Cody Rhodes. What brought this on, the story? Well, Cody Rhodes opened his own factory, his own wrestling factory. These are his former students because they turned on the master. That's right. One of his old friends, QT Marshall, made Cody Rhodes' students turn on him. No, it was cool. So he had his students turn on him, and now it's the infamous battle between warring nations, you know, like America versus a foreign, you know, foreign country storyline.
Yeah,
so
foreigners.
Yeah. So it was a decent match, but it was nothing to write home about. It was okay. It was like a TV match, not like a real pay-per-view match. But the real shocking thing is that Cody Rhodes defeated Anthony with a vertebraker.
A vertebraker, yes.
That was the highlight in that match.
And what's that? Why is it the highlight, and why is it shocking, or what?
Because we haven't seen a vertebraker in years, and it's one of the most banned moves in wrestling right now. So that's the shocking moment of that whole match, the vertebraker. And it was shocking that Cody Rhodes did that as a finisher.
I felt some people online were pointing out that the go-go guy, Anthony's Olympic boxer, and like he punched Cody square in the jaw like four times in the match, and Cody just like no-sold his punches, kind of. Maybe. I didn't get to see the punches they were talking about. Like, maybe he did sell them, but they were saying, like, come on, the guy's a boxer and he hits you square in the face.
Pretty soon people
but
are going
to really
turn
get
on
to watch
Cody.
That.
Pretty soon people are going to turn on Cody if he keeps
As
doing
they
this
should.
Shit.
As they should. They turn on Triple
everything
A.
I read
they
about
turn
Cody.
On everybody.
Everything I read about Cody online is negative. Does the crowd still pop for him? Because people online just hate the guy.
The crowd still kind of pop for him, but I think they're mostly fucking plants. I think they're all
They're popping
sheep.
For USA.
They're
popping for the America. The USA chant is over.
Yeah. I mean, for fuck's sake, this guy is calling himself the American Dream after his father. Like, what the fuck? Like, seriously. Cody's starting to fucking piss me off now, right now, right? He's becoming fucking Triple H in AEW right now, where he's fucking
Didn't I just
no
say
selling
that?
Shit.
Didn't I just fucking say that?
Yeah.
So it's me that's pissing you off.
No, he's pissing me off. The guy's starting to piss me off. He's starting to no-sell people. He's starting to beat people. He's not putting one over. He's not putting anyone over. Who did he put over? The only person he's put over is fucking MJF. Put over. He fucking buried the Dark Order. He buried fucking Anthony in that pay-per-view. He hasn't put anybody over. The guy's starting to really piss me off now. And fans are already turning on this fucking guy.
The guy won't fucking turn heel, he says. He'll never turn heel, he said.
I'm starting to take a liking to this guy.
No, fuck off.
Starting to take a liking
to
this
guy.
So,
yeah, I'm going to give this match a C plus. It was nothing to write home about. Up next, we had the TNT Championship between Miro and Lance Archer. Another Hoss versus Hoss match. This match was brutal. Miro is a fucking beast. He's no longer the best friend gimmick, which was fucking terrible. That gimmick was floundering him. He was in a terrible gimmick with the fucking best friends. He was fighting with the best friends. That feud was terrible for his first run. So right now he's a beast. He's a monster. And he faced Lance Archer. The match, again, was nothing to write home about, but it was a physical match. So I'll give this match a C+. I don't know where we go from here, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have a match between Miro and Kip Sabin. This title, because that's the feud we're going with. And Lance Archer, I don't know where they're going to go with the guy, so I'm invested.
Yeah. He hasn't had the best luck in his run, I don't think. I don't know. And he's got Jake behind him. Like, they just, to me, they don't seem like a huge threat, even though he's a big dude. It's just, I don't know. They haven't done it right yet.
I look at this Lance Archer deal, and I'm like, no, man. Who the fuck is he, first of all?
It's another guy that Cody Rhodes didn't put over. There's another guy that Cody Rhodes didn't put over. That's why.
What was his name in WWE? Vance Hoyt or Lance Hoyt?
Vance Archer. He was in WWE.
Vance Archer.
Lance Hoyt is when he was in TNA.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it's Lance Archer. Wait, hold on. What the fuck?
Hoyt was TNA, Archer, yeah. You know what? You better learn these because they might come up on fucking Name That Tune.
Vance Archer, Lance Hoyt, and now it's what?
Yeah.
It's Lance Archer.
Lance Archer.
Lance Archer, the murder hawk, Lance Archer.
Lance Archer.
The guy has an identity crisis, okay?
There's only two. When I used to see him wrestle in Houston a lot. He used to come down here in Houston, and he was Lance Hoyt when he wrestled here.
Cool.
Lance Archer.
So where are we at now?
We're at, let's see, we're at the women's match between the women's championship. We're at the women's championship match between Hikaru Shida versus Britt Baker, DMD. It was a decent match. It was actually a great match. Who am I kidding? It was a fantastic match. These women worked hard as fuck. But as time went on, you know, a reign had to come to an end. So your new women's champion, Britt Baker. Shida did great with the title. She did okay. But, yep, it was time for her to drop the title to the rightful winner.
In reading this and reading the article that I read, which was Sports Illustrated, it was a good article. They sold this match, and it made me intrigued. I'm like, shit, this is a good time to watch Britt Baker, whom I've seen on Pluto, on the Women's Federation or whatever the hell. And so it's like, man, this is a great time to, you know, get in on AEW and then all this other madness that they have going on. I mean, it looks like a great time to, you know, make the switch.
Wait. Okay. So it's Vance Archer, Lance Hoyt, Lance Archer. There you go.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
What about Charlie Haas?
Charlie Haas is just Charlie Haas.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. So the next match, we have Sting, who physically returns to in-ring action in Darby Allin versus Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. This was a fucking great match. Sting looked awesome. He was phenomenal. I'm just
He's
glad that...
He's fucking 62 years old, dudes.
It shows that
he's a lot better than fucking Goldberg. Remember Goldberg? Remember Edge?
Goldberg is pitiful. Goldberg's a bitch. Goldberg's
Whoa,
not even a real fucking
stop
wrestler.
It. Oh my God, stop it.
Goldberg is not a real wrestler.
Come on,
Goldberg's
man.
Not a real wrestler.
I know, I hate Goldberg too, but shit.
Bro, I
come
think Christian might be next.
William Regal outclassed him in the fucking ring. William Regal could out wrestle that fucker. Anyway, it was a great fucking match. Sting fucking is a fucking legend. He proved it.
Yeah.
At 62 years old, he could still outwork anybody in today's age. He could fucking outwork anybody in the fucking WWE right now, which is a fucking fact.
Took his shirt off, even.
Took his shirt off, which I'm still pissed that they didn't do Undertaker versus fucking. But I'm still mad to this day that they didn't do Sting versus Undertaker WrestleMania instead of Triple H and Sting.
I love how they did fucking this. This was my favorite match of the night. That's why I'm putting in here because I'm so fucking excited to finally talk about this match because Sting's always been one of my favorites, man. And this is like solidifying Sting as like the GOAT for me. And they did the whole thing where it's like he comes out with a fucking sweatshirt because you know when wrestlers come out with sweatshirts or t-shirts they're out of shape, you know what I mean? Especially older wrestlers that are coming back. They come back with these fucking shirts on and you're just he's out of shape. That's what he's fucking wrestling like.
Yeah,
that.
Remember he used to wear a t-shirt on fucking TNA and I mean everybody made fun of him. I made fun of him. They're like just take the fucking shirt off and be fat, motherfucker.
But you can tell, like, that's how they played it, because he came out, and then he threw fucking Scorpio Sky off the poker chips,
and
then ripped
his fucking shirt off.
And this dude is fucking old man ripped. He's, like, 61-year-old fucking, like, ripped. And I'm like, holy shit. And then he proceeds the rest of the fucking match, and I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck am I watching here? It was great, man. And, yeah, you're right. He can't outwork fucking – he can outwork people half his fucking age right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Maybe he should take that slogan from Christian Cage and give it this thing, outwork everyone. You know?
So according to this article –
He's modified his style. I don't know if you watch like some the way he was getting up, the way he was maneuvering. He modified his style to where it looked like he was like really fluid. Like I can't describe it. It's something like almost like how Randy Orton does his maneuvering in the ring a little bit, but not. It was like that, like he would grab the rope, spin around, like pop back up, like just like I've never seen. It was like a new Sting, like you think that somebody can reinvent themselves at the age of 61 and Sting can, and it's fucking crazy.
He pulled out
according to this article,
he did that crossbody. He did like a crossbody off of the barricade or whatever that reminded me of the Stinger days. Like you didn't see him do that a lot when he was the Crow Sting or whatever. But yeah, he did some old school stuff and
shit like that. I saw the clip of Ethan Page tossing fucking Allen from inside the ring into the crowd and shit. That was pretty wicked. That was badass. That was some old school shit. I liked it.
Bro, the intro to the match was cool too. Like whenever Sting, like Darby's like skateboarding and Sting scoops him up and they're riding in that car and I was watching it with my buddies and I was like, hey, Jerry Seinfeld, let me borrow this car. Do you like coffee or something? Like,
so yeah,
just like
Christian,
dude,
what do you
I was
give
like
this
joking
match?
About. They're like he hops in the car and they just turn the Misfits up really loud, like it's just a wee 138 just playing.
I'm gonna give this match a B plus. It was a great, it was a good match. A B plus.
A B plus.
They look like a couple of juggalos.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
So
they do. I can see that. They look like a couple of juggalos. And I, and you
bring
know what?
Guys
I like it. Here's to the Juggalos. Here's I'm drinking.
ICP.
I'm gonna tell the Juggalos.
AEW.
Some Wicked Juicy IPA to the Juggalos.
So up next, we've had the semi-main event. We've had the triple threat match between Pac, Orange Cassidy, and the underwhelming World Heavyweight Champion, Kenny Omega, come fight me. I think Kenny Omega is the most underwhelming, overrated world champion right now.
I'm
I think
pull
he's boring.
Stop it.
I think he's underwhelming right now.
Come on. Stop it.
Well, the guy doesn't look like – the guy doesn't feel like a world champion to me. I don't know why right now. But
real
it was
good
a great
impression
match.
There, you prick.
This was a fantastic match. This is what a triple threat match should have been for WrestleMania instead of, you know, bullshit.
No, wait, but I got to hear Albert's point there. Tell us your thought there, Albert.
Bro, on Kenny Omega, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, and the match and shit like that.
I thought it was great. I think Kenny Omega is a great world champion. I think he represents the company very well. He was the top independent guy outside the WWE for a long time, and now he's the world champion, if not the face of the company. If you want to talk about Cody Rhodes being the face of the company, he's the face of the company. He's the Randy Orton to the John Cena, if you will. He's the guy, and he's a great in-ring worker. No, he's the great in-ring worker, and he does it. He's a workhorse, man, and all those fucking titles he has, he deserves each and every one of them. Now, my only problem with him having all these titles is, you know, how is he going to, you know, he's not going to lose very gracefully, you know what I mean? It's like, that's like his gimmick right now. So it's like he's going to lose like one title at a time, or it's somebody to come and challenge him for all the titles at one time, because we know that Jungle Boy is not going to fucking get it. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm getting off track here. I'm a couple of Shiner boxed in. But I thought the match was pretty decent. And of course, we know that Kenny Omega was coming out on top, but yeah, I'd give it like a good, like, you know, 7 out of 10. I'm sorry.
I know two people who are gonna take that title, those titles away from him. In Impact, is gonna be Sami Callihan. It's gonna be Sami Callihan who's gonna take the world title from Impact. And for AEW, is gonna be Hangman Page. Adam Page is gonna beat him for that title.
WWE needs to send Roman Reigns over there and take all those fucking titles off of his hands,
yeah,
so the big dog finally rule over the wrestling world, the entire world, goddammit.
WWE just sells to Disney, and then they stroke a check to everybody, and they're like, Disney owns all the wrestling companies, we're the boss now, and then now you got the Mickey Mouse Mouseketeers faction in TNA, and you get the baseball. Disney probably owns the baseball team. They fucking put those guys in there, like I was saying. Maybe Elias finally gets a backup band.
We're Disney.
A man can dream, right? That's dream booking.
Dude,
right?
Goofy in WWE, I would mark the fuck out if Goofy was a wrestler.
Gorsh, I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to fuck you up, motherfucker. Gorsh.
Are you? Now, Kevin, are you talking about like a CGI Goofy or a guy in a Goofy suit?
Man, you joke, but we're going to have CGI wrestlers one day. They're going to do like the first CGI match. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah. I could see that.
So,
like a wrestler who wears like the motion capture suit, right? That'd be badass.
Yes. Yeah. Mocap match.
Fatal Four Way. Always ahead of its time here. That's what we're talking about.
Hell yeah.
So, this was a great match. I'm going to give this match an A. This was a fucking great triple threat match. Now, it's the main event we've all been waiting for.
Before you move forward, I wanted to say about this match, though, with Kenny Omega and Pac. Pac looked fucking awesome. But then Kenny's move, the one-winged angel, it was, like, totally exposed in this match to me, kind of, for the first time. Like, I've seen him pull it off where it looks so sick. But it's the worst setup. It's like on the list for worst setups for a finisher. Like, it seems so hard to pull off, and maybe that's what makes it more impactful or whatever. but I hated that in the match. I was like, why do you keep trying to do this dumbass move, dude? Just kill him. And then the whole Orange Cassidy thing was really exposed in the match, too. Not exposed because, I mean, it's like it's fun wrestling or whatever, but, dude, this guy literally has his hand in his pocket, and he just pulls it out. It, like, hits you every once in a while. It would piss me off. But those are my two gripes about the match. But I was just looking at Neville, dude, and I was like, man, I missed you. So he was my favorite part of the match.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're talking about Pac? Are you guys talking about Pac?
Pac, Neville, whatever. And, like, we all knew that both of those guys weren't taking the title off of Omega there. But I'm an Orange Cassidy fan, you know what I mean? But he's a comedic wrestler. And I think it would have been a lot cooler if maybe
he's not a prototype champion. So,
exactly.
You know, you can't expect them to put the title on him. But it would be sweet if they did. I think it would be.
Well, I was saying, like, he needs, like, an alter ego, you know, that he can go back to the Orange Cassidy.
Like a real
style,
wrestler?
Maybe, like,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, he does that. He does do that, and then in the ring, he'll, like, start wrestling badass all of a sudden for just a second.
Yeah.
So that's
kind
of cool. But there was times in this match where he just pulled off little fluke hits and, like, fuck shit up, like, for just to break up the three count or whatever. I was like, fuck this guy, kind of.
Now we go to the main event we've all been waiting for. The stadium stampede between the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle. In a swerve finish, the Inner Circle beats the Pinnacle, which means the Inner Circle will not disband. This was a good match. False count anywhere around a stadium. But there is a problem here. And that the Pinnacle is not taken seriously. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this hurts the Pinnacle. Well, the first match, War Games, they didn't make the Pinnacle look strong at all. In fact, it made them weak. You know why?
Yeah, well, first of all, I can't take the fucking Pinnacle serious with that name. The Pinnacle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secondly,
they got their ass destroyed. They got destroyed in Warriors. They got destroyed. They got beaten to a pulp. The only reason why they won the match was because they threatened to throw Chris Jericho off the cell. That, to me, makes them look fucking weak. That makes them fucking look weak as hell. That made them look weak. Now here, they lost to the Inner Circle. They're even more weak now. So now they look like bitches. All right? They look like complete and utter bitches.
Stop it.
They look weak. Knowing that one of them even has a broken arm. They even lost to one of them who has a broken arm. So now they're double more weak. Now they're doubly more terrible. So, yeah, this kind of hurts the Pinnacle now, in my opinion.
Christian.
Because one, they couldn't... Yeah, so
they look
so
badass.
Yeah.
They look badass walking out their entrances to this match for so. And I know I've said that a couple of times, but Jericho in the biker vest, like looking all fat with a broken arm, looked like a badass to me. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, he did. But what I was gonna say is the Pinnacle are heels. They're MJF is the fucking chicken shit heel, and he's good at it. And he talks a lot of shit, you know, but, I mean, he's not a chicken shit heel. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that he's that type of heel, but they're heels.
No,
he's
a whiny baby-ass heel.
Yeah, they lost. And it's not going to hurt them at all. It's not going to hurt MJF. If anything, I mean, it's gonna help them. You know what I mean? Like, that the ending of the match is fucking amazing. You know, I'm glad Sammy Guevara got a fucking, like, you know, got to end the fucking pay-per-view with a victory. I mean, that was fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. You can tell they're putting a lot of fucking effort into his push. But the
from the highlights I've seen, it looked like it was a spot fest. Like, the spots were set up and shit. Is that the feel that it had live?
I don't know.
It was a good match.
The opening was badass. The opening itself was definitely a spot.
Oh, the opening and was fucking wicked, spot, man. Them coming down that big old fucking sign and shit. The only thing that would have been made that shit better is if that fucking place was packed with fucking fans.
All I know is that one of them is going to get kicked out of the Pinnacle. I guarantee.
Fuck the bullshit pandemic.
I guarantee you, Sean Spears is going to get kicked out of the fucking Pinnacle.
Bunch of fucking horseshit.
I'm telling you right now, after that match, Sean Spears is going to get kicked out. Because they did a segment. No, listen. They did a segment where he had his anger issues, and he almost beat up a fucking Raider in a restaurant segment. And he was the one who got pinned in the pay-per-view. So I best believe he's going to be the one who's going to get kicked out of the Inner Circle. MJF is going to blame him that he was the one who got pinned. He was the one who made the team lose, and he's going to get fucking kicked out. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
And so, Christian, if there's anything, any one big thing that we could have done different in the pay-per-view.
And now it's time for Booking 101 with the Philly Lily with the Chili on the Willy, Christian from Philly.
Nothing.
Stop it. You're being a fucking mark now. You're being a huge mark.
Nice.
You heard it here.
Nothing.
Save the time.
Nothing. It was a good pay-per-view.
It was that good.
It did everything great. It was a good pay-per-view. I'm telling you,
wow.
The last 48 hours was fucking bizarre. We had a great show on Sunday. We had an atrocious show on Monday. So, yeah, that's it for AEW Weekly. I'm going to give this show 9 out of 10. I'm going to give AEW 9 out of 10.
Wow. I'll tell you what, man. Looking at all the highlights, and I read an entire article on it, Sports Illustrated, by the way. And then there was another one on CNET that I also read the results and recap with the highlights and shit. And man, it sounded like, man, holy shit, man, I gotta get into this shit. So it's another app that I have to load onto my Roku, or is it Roku? Whatever the fuck it is, I gotta load a new app in there so I can watch. I think it's gonna be on TBS now soon. I'm not sure, but either or, they're probably going to expand programming. And I'm telling you what, man, I don't have enough time to watch, you know, too much fucking wrestling.
Just get on YouTube. Both companies, AEW and WWE, give you enough product on YouTube to keep up with what's going on. If you can't watch the whole thing,
And I have been doing that on WWE. But this week,
All Elite they have full shows on YouTube, dude. Like, they have full blogs or whatever.
Yeah,
so there's probably more content from AEW on YouTube than there is WWE.
I've been totally satisfied with, you know, what I've been watching on WWE as far as just the highlights go on YouTube and stuff. Totally satisfied. But this week, now I have access to WWE where I can watch Raw live. And we're going to tell you more about that when we come back after these words right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Because I'm telling you right now, Radio.
Everybody, Albert Salazar here to tell you about our new show, Bombing Out, hosted by me and my good pal, Joe B.
Woo!
We're taking stand-up comedy open mics and doing them better than anybody has ever done in the history of mankind. Watch comics bomb horribly, live from the comfort of your own home. No cover charge, no drink minimums, no bouncers kicking you out for taking your pants off. Bombing Out is live Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and of course at bombingout.com. Comics can also sign up on the website. Audio versions of the show will be available on the World Generation Podcast Network. Bombing Out, the future of stand-up today. Visit bombingout.com for more information.
Pay-per-view, double or nothing. Now we
yes.
switch the fucking dial now. Now we switch the fucking dial. 48 hours. Good show? It's fucking atrocious show. Let's fucking do this. Monday Night Raw. Oh, fuck me. Monday Night Raw. We opened the show with fucking Miz TV of all things. Memorial Day, by the way, was yesterday.
Bro.
And did it? They decided to do this. They opened the show for Memorial Day for this shit, Miz TV.
Bro.
Nice.
My first night to be able to watch Monday Night Raw again live and shit. I have the app now on my Roku. And I fall asleep during the Miz TV segment.
Awful.
Out like a fucking light. It was that awful. And then, I woke up and it was later on and shit, and I never could get back into the show, and it was just like, fuck it. Right, some of it was okay, but, it had its moments, but not, shit.
Fucking
it's rough.
Trash. Fucking trash. Miss TV opens up with John Morrison wearing fucking garlic around his fucking neck because of the whole zombie shit. Fucking terrible comedy. Fucking garbage. All to introduce Charlotte Flair, which nobody likes. You know, she's the bane of everyone's existence. She comes out. She talks in the worst scripted promos. Then comes the next robot, Rhea Ripley, which I already hate her already. I can't stand her. Her title run is shit. She's fucking boring. Her scripted promos are terrible. You know, I don't believe in fucking zombies, but I know that I'm the women's division's nightmare. Wow. Riveting. Fucking riveting promo.
She's got
riveting
a bit of a
promo.
Nick Cage thing going there.
Riveting. Riveting. So what happens is they talk bullshit. This feud is fucking awful, I wrote. Feud terrible. And the build-up to this feud is awful. Then Nikki Cross comes out. She challenges Charlotte to the same beat the clock challenge that she did with Rhea Ripley. But instead of 2 minutes, it's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The same shit happens where Charlotte goes out of the fucking ring to talk to Rhea for 40 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
And fucking Charlotte fucking loses.
So, I don't get, why don't you guys like this? This is so funny. This is so good. And Nikki cut a good promo. You don't think Charlotte or Rhea deserve it? You think that they're putting on a bad show? Because Rhea's trying her best. She's thrown into it. Charlotte's trying
this
to hang on to a thread.
I think
when the crowds come back, all this stuff's going to read different. But I think that it was good. I think that Nikki was great in this, in both matches, and in the promo that she cut on the girls and when she slapped her in the face. Everybody was expecting Nikki to be Lily. And to get Nikki actually just like in a big storyline is pretty cool. So I felt the same way with Rhea too. I don't know.
These aren't fucking wins. She's just letting the clock go. These aren't fucking wins.
You have to expect. No, wait a minute. You have to expect that Nikki Cross was going to win this match the moment it was announced.
Yes, I was, and that's terrible. That's just awful. This is not how you start a show. It's horrible. Both the challenger and the champion looked bad towards the match of their pay-per-view. They have no momentum. They both look bad. This is not making me invested to their fucking match at all. It's terrible. But at least we go to something good at least. The only two people that are actually trying to make this show tolerable, fucking Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. Because I feel like they're the only two fuckers that care. We have Matt Riddle cutting a segment with Damian Priest trying to learn Spanish. And then Randy Orton shows up. By the way, I'm grading that match a fucking F. That match was horrible. I wouldn't even call it a fucking match because it was 2 minutes. Nothing really happened. So Randy faced Xavier Woods. It was a good match. Another good match with Xavier Woods. But this time, Randy hits Matt Riddle's finishing move, the Bro Derek, to pin Xavier Woods. These two are fucking great. I love this tag team. This is the only good shit on Raw. They're the only two entertaining people on Raw.
It's going to go on for a little while, and then it's going to end. And it is good. It's very entertaining. It is very entertaining. I love it. I love this Matt Riddle bro shit with RK-Bro and all that. And Randy Orton still has not, he wouldn't do the pose. He would not do the pose when Matt Riddle got, he's still not there yet. So obviously they're going to culminate to where he does do the pose. And then from there, it's going to go back downhill from there again. And then, you know, it's going to be the big turn and all that shit. But that's later on down the line.
But then that's going to be the interesting part. You don't know who's going to turn on the team. It might be the biggest swerve. It might be Matt Riddle who turns on Randy. That would be the biggest swerve. Nobody would expect it. The student has become the master. Randy has taught him too well. That's the story.
Huh. I like that.
And I just came up with it like a few seconds. It's not that hard. It's really not. This is fucking basic booking. It's really not hard.
Stop it.
So right, we go right back to stupid town. Shayna Baszler versus Reginald. Are you fucking kidding me? Fucking, this shit was garbage. The only thing Reginald did was a fucking back suplex, and then he did his fucking flips and shit, because he was from Circus Ole.
Come on, man.
No.
You have to go register yourself right now. Immediately after this show, go find a fucking wrestling school and register yourself and take a fucking bump. Come on.
No.
What
I don't give a fuck.
Fundraiser. Come up with a fundraiser to get Christian to wrestling school. That sounds interesting.
No. No, he's training to be a wrestler. I get it, but this shouldn't be on a fucking 3-hour show, especially on Shayna Baszler's expense. Especially on her expense.
Hey, look, man. If she fucking signed that deal, I understand that last year.
Yeah, fuck her.
Shayna Baszler. I understand that last year Shayna Baszler was fucking destroying everyone. Okay? But since then, she's probably inked a deal. And now, you know, she's out there, you know, doing what she's doing.
Yeah.
That's how this shit works.
Here we are again,
yeah.
And I'm telling you that some people actually like this shit, dude. Like, I think that the match is
I loved it.
And I think that them interacting with Alexa was really cool. Those people have low standards. I get what you're saying. It's no disrespect. It's no disrespect. I'm just saying that, like, me, I was telling my wife while I was watching, I was like, I still like Alexa. I was like, the guys on the show don't like it. I was like, but I like what Alexa's doing. I like that Shayna and the, like, different people are getting involved with her. I like that Shayna beat the guy up and he just laid there on the floor. Like he just laid there, passed out, walking in front of the promo.
Now I'm understanding where Alexa's going with this. She's obviously, you know, and she's dug herself into a match with Shayna Baszler next week.
We don't even know if it's a match.
The title of the segment was that it said Shayna Baszler challenges Alexa Bliss to a match next week.
Yeah.
That's going to be trash.
I'm just saying that there's stuff that I definitely like, and I think that the guy, if he's training, like, I don't think he's sloppy. I think the guy was badass. I was telling my wife because he was selling his leg in the match, and it's like he did a sloppy flip. He did, like, this sloppy, I forget what they call those, but there's, like, those cross-body flips where they go sideways and spin. And
yeah.
I was like,
you're talking about
pretty good at flipping, just, like, sell while you're flipping. Like, he was selling a bad leg and doing a flip, so that was kind of cool.
Who are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about Reginald.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I dug Reginald. I dug his performance and shit. And then afterwards.
I think that it's cool that Reginald gets to wrestle the chicks. Like, that's a cool thing, too, that they're having intergender matches. So it's cool. There's a dude from local wrestling, and he wrestles all over now. Ninja Mac. And, like, Google's a guy. Freaking watch him on YouTube, because the stuff that Reginald's doing, Ninja Mac's doing times 10. It's real talk. And no disrespect to Reginald either, but Ninja Mac's going to be all elite.
Damn. Whose dog is that? Always. Somebody else has a dog over there.
That's my dog. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Somebody else has a fucking dog over there. He's
the
got
watch,
a watch
I thought that you were playing dog.
The watch dog's watch dog.
You got...
My dog was disagreeing with you. Yeah, the match was shit. I wouldn't even call it a match. Alexa Bliss interferes for some reason, which I don't fucking get it. Is she supposed to be a face or a heel? Is Shayna Baszler supposed to be the face in this situation? It's never explained. Garbage. An F. Then fucking... We get to Mason fucking T-Bar versus the Lucha House Party. What the fuck, man? Like, seriously. This is downhill. This is fucking downhill.
Again, you had to know that they were going to win the match. They're the ones, they're the guys being featured.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, why they gave a fucking promo package for the Lucha House Party when they still lose? Like, what the fuck was the point of that? And they fucking lose to Mason T-Bar in a know-nothing match. Garbage. F.
Yeah,
then we get... This is the weirdest fucking shit ever. This is backwards booking as it is. We get Sheamus, the U.S. champion, losing in a 2-on-1 situation with Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo. This is fucking stupid. And the booking's fucking stupid. Because we have two face baby faces antagonizing and pretty much handicapping one heel. And they both cheated by a by a distraction, by a distraction, in order for them to win the matches. This is not doing anyone any favors. Sheamus looks like a fucking clown. And not only that, his nose got fucking busted.
You sound.
The booking makes no sense. I'm starting to think Sheamus is the fucking babyface at this point. Because fuck me, they're not acting like
you
fucking babyface.
You realize how stupid you sound.
They're literally handicapping this guy in a 2-on-1 situation. So tell me how that makes sense.
And fucking Sheamus is a tough son of a bitch too, man. Got a broken nose in that match, official. And there's no word if he's going to have to miss out on fucking, you know, if he might have to miss time for this. Because that's how hard these guys go in the fucking ring. It's so amazing. Each and every week for us to sit here and talk shit about him.
And he's still losing.
He took a fucking stiff one to the face and fucking broke his nose.
This feud's doing him no favors.
I say he comes back next week with the fucking black eyes and shit. He'll have one or two good black eyes next week. His eyes will still be black. And I think he'll still be on TV.
At this point, I'm rooting for fucking Sheamus. And I'm not supposed to. He's supposed to be the heel. But I'm rooting for him. Because he's getting fucked over by two baby faces.
That's your fucking problem.
No. It's their problem. Because they don't know how to fucking book shit right.
I'm always going to root for Sheamus because he's a fucking heel. So, you know, that's my take on it.
Yeah, so again, by roll-up pin.
That's how fucked up in the head I am.
So by roll-up pin, so the matches weren't good. It was quick. It was roll-up pins. That was terrible.
Yeah.
So again, we have the death.
I noticed a lot of roll-up pins. The roll-up pins were used a lot this week. It was crazy.
Oh, it's so much, man. It's just so overdone.
And just the appearances where the guy doesn't
they
do
even have names.
Walk out on the stage.
They even have names for the roll-up pins now and shit.
Yeah. There was like three matches that I can think of where somebody just walked out and their music like distracted somebody enough to lose their match, which is so stupid.
Next was the Death TV for Death Television. We had Naomi and Lana versus Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. My God, the women's match.
I'm
going to
go on mute for this.
This is fucking trash. I hate the women's tag division. I hate the women's tag belts. And I hate Bayley and Sasha Banks for bringing this idea. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. This was the most stupidest idea they've ever come up with. I hate these fucking matches. They're never good. Fuck it. F all the way. I don't care. Then we have the most disappointing shit ever. Cedric Alexander versus Shelton Benjamin again. But guess what? The match doesn't even last that long. It lasts for fucking 38 seconds. Because I turned my head for like a few seconds and the match was already fucking over because Cedric poked him in the fucking eye and hit his finisher and beat Shelton. Like, what the fuck is this? And they build this match like this was their final match. Like, what? You really gonna end this feud like this? Are you kidding me?
It's not the end.
Who's doing this?
Yeah, it was weird. Who's... They just had to get that in there, I guess. I don't know why they did that way. It's stupid that they have this storyline still going. I feel like some of these guys, they just, for some reason, they're still invested in some of the guys that I would agree there's guys that could get screen time over Cedric and Shelton could be used better. Cedric probably could be used better, but I'm more invested in Shelton, dude. Let that guy do something one more time. But yeah, no, it's really weird the way that they did that match for sure.
And Shelton's going to have to go to AEW to get his last shine, bro. I guarantee you Shelton's already looking at getting out of his contract and going to AEW because what they just did to him, the Hurt Business and now this, I'm pretty sure he Wait, not very happy.
What the fuck did I just walk into?
It's not good. None of this is good.
Wait a minute. I was on mute. I was gone for a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Did you get abducted by aliens real quick? Did you?
Yeah, to go take a piss, you know. Well,
spaceship piss.
And so I walk into this shit. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, Shelton Benjamin versus Cedric. It lasted for 38 seconds. So, yeah. Next, we had...
What?
Shelton versus Cedric for 38 seconds. It was a terrible match. It was an ass, Minister. So,
yeah.
we get AJ Styles and Omos versus Elias and Jackson Ryker for the Raw tag titles. Bullshit match. This was terrible. And guess what? You know, it's bad enough the Raw tag division is fucking thin as it is. They suddenly decided to break up another fucking tag team, ladies and gentlemen. Jackson Ryker and Elias is broken up for no reason whatsoever. There was no hint, no build-up towards this at all. But for some reason, Elias turns on Jackson Ryker.
And I don't have
another
a problem
fucking
with that.
Tag team.
No,
I don't
have a problem
with
that.
It either. I don't
what
have
I
a
have
problem,
problem with
either.
What I have a problem with is fucking Omos and his fucking ring gear. It's so fucking disrespectful.
Yeah.
He comes out of the same fucking gear.
You want to talk about ring gear? Let's talk about all the guys on the roster that are wearing black pants right now, black jeans. What, like Ricochet, T-Bar Mage, like so many people. They all have this like black tape, black
the
pants
same
bullshit.
Fucking
I do not know why.
Yeah.
I know this is a problem, but I think you're all missing the point about the fact that the tag division is as abysmal as it is right now, and they decided to break up another fucking tag team. So now we're down to fewer tag teams now more than ever. So I think it's a big fucking...
But they're going to push the other guys, Mace and T-Bar, or whatever the fuck their names are.
No, they're fucking not.
Yeah, they are. Just hide and watch.
They're going to be fucking...
And I'm going to mute myself again when I go get a beer.
They're going to be jobbers. They're going to be jobbers to the star. Who cares about those idiots? So, yeah, we got the main event. We got the main event. The only great match in this fucking show. Actually, it was important. Drew McIntyre versus Kofi Kingston. Whoever wins faces Bobby Lashley for the WWE title at Hell in a Cell. Surprise, surprise, it was Drew McIntyre. What'd you expect? You think Kofi Kingston was going to win? This was a great match.
No.
This was a solid match. But again, we're going to have Drew versus Bobby again. I don't know if it's going to be in Hell in a Cell, whatever, but I couldn't care less about this match at the pay-per-view. I seen it 4 fucking times now. I could give 2 shits. This Raw was a fucking joke. This whole the whole show's a fucking joke. This Raw gets 2 out of fucking 10 for me. Fuck Monday Night Raw. This was a fucking travesty.
Boo.
Fuck.
No,
it's
here we go.
Right.
In a nutshell, I just watched it and I enjoyed it and. Was just like, I get that they're doing rematches all the time and that there's little things. And I know I was shitting on stuff they do earlier too, so I sound like I'm going both ways. But, like, overall, the in-ring product, that was what I was – my takeaway is every week for the past few weeks is, like, both shows, all the wrestling that I watch, all the wrestlers, like, putting on. And I think it's because everybody's, like, ready to be performing in front of a crowd again. So they're all putting on their best and, like, trying to get their game up as much as they can before we start seeing a lot of crowds. And I think that wrestling will get better once we do get that. I think that maybe we'll get people to shine more and people will be able to get over generically and stuff like that again.
Albert expected, is it going to get better now that Evolution is back?
Look, man, you guys know me, the heavy optimist the past year, the last few weeks or month or so, I've been really pessimistic about the WWE product. And I was always the one that said, give it time, give it time, give it time. And you know what? It's a year later, and they're still doing stupid bullshit. I thought AEW was going to light a fire under their asses. It really didn't. It did in some aspects.
But Evolution is here, my friend.
But you know what? If Kevin says wait for the live crowds to come back, I'm going to say I guess I'll wait for the live crowds to come back. But if the product doesn't improve in the next couple of months or even by the end of the year, I'm going to swear off WWE completely. And hold me to that.
I hear you, dude. You can hold me to it. It's probably still going to suck, though. You're probably going to be right.
All I'm waiting for is Brock Lesnar's theme song to hit either at Money in the Bank or Hell in a Cell so we can get Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. I'm still waiting for that theme song to hit.
You
out of nowhere.
What's really cool is if you're watching... If you're watching Monday Night Raw one time, right, that'd be really cool if you're watching Monday Night Raw and then Stevie Richards' music hits.
Stop it. I don't have it under Stevie Richards. I have it under something else. What the fuck is it? Censored. Uncensored? Or... Right.
It doesn't matter. Stevie Richards will get a pop.
No, it doesn't matter. It's because it's this one. Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you guys right now, Stevie Richards is going to pop more than anybody in the main roster right now.
Not to get it confused with... I'm on the trigger, guys. But it doesn't matter. The only one that does matter, though, is... this one. When does he come back? SummerSlam? I mean, we should be back full capacity. We should be back full capacity.
The
bullshit pandemic. The bullshit, because, you know, the elections are over. Biden administration and Kamala heels up Harris administration are fully underway right now. And, you know, they're turning the country. They're changing the country is what they're saying. And they are. Oh, they're changing the fuck out of it. Gas up
the
fucking whole dollar since last year.
Bro.
Groceries up out the ass. You know, I mean, I don't know. You tell me how for the better it is.
Call Stevie Richards.
But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I'm waiting for fucking Brock Lesnar. I am waiting for Brock Lesnar to come back. And hopefully we'll get him back ASAP because he's the only thing that can save WWE right now.
Brock, that's enough out of you, Brock.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of what Kevin was talking about earlier, just a few minutes ago, about the company returning to full-time schedule, I'm just reading here right now on Raja.com that Vince McMahon announced yesterday, and this is a report straight from Vince McMahon, that he's requiring all talent to report to the Performance Center on the days off for mandatory training. So... that's pretty interesting right there. Top to bottom.
They got to fucking get better. They got to get into shape. They got to get into in-ring shape and stuff. I mean, think about it. They haven't been doing this shit night after night. Like they normally would be. So they have to get back into shape. And one of the ways to do it is to get back to the Performance Center and fucking... you know, jam out, if you will.
I'm sorry, how,
I'm sorry, does that include Randy Orton?
No.
I believe so.
Why? Why does he have to fucking go? Like, he doesn't need to fucking get in shape.
Everybody.
He has to go work. By the way, what about Randy Orton?
Gonna need to do, hey, he's probably going to need to pass a piss test, honestly. Him and his little buddy.
What about Randy Orton's new look that he has? He's got a mustache.
I'm just kidding, but come on.
Creepy mustache looking. He's looking all creepy and shit.
I'm he's been smoking the ganja in the tour bus with Riddle, dude.
There you go.
Even somebody made a weed joke. AJ Styles made a weed joke on talking or on Raw Talk, where he was like, "You sound like R-Truth was talking." He said, "You sound like you've been hanging out with Matt Riddle."
That's right, bro.
WWE,
yikes. Are we done with this show, or shall we keep going, or where are we at?
Hey, boys and girls, hey, listen, I'm trying to do the impression. Let me see. Listen, brother, it's me, Hulk Hogan, and not the offensive one that you don't like to remember, but the good one from your childhood. And I'm just saying, boys and girls, if you just hang in there and eat your vitamins and say your prayers and your ABCs and all that shit and do push-ups, then, like, wrestling will probably still get better, and you'll probably still be watching WWE and 10, 15, 20 years, and Disney will probably own it. That's all. I want to leave you with that. There you go. No, it's real talk though. Like, it's not going anywhere. WWE is going to get better. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's not, it maybe not get better, but it's going to keep going. So enjoy it. Enjoy what we get and criticize it.
I'm not enjoying it.
And hopefully it changes a little at a time. We still haven't seen.
Listen, this is what
I'm hanging in for, and I don't mean to sound morbid, but we haven't seen the death of Vince era and like the post Vince era. So I'm giving it until then. Like after Vinnie Mac's gone, let's see what happens, and if it's still dog shit, I'll probably be out too.
Listen, I'm a SmackDown guy, right? As much as I don't like Roman Reigns, SmackDown is the better show, right? I can't stand Raw, right? Raw is fucking dog shit. SmackDown is a boring, but at least it's decent. SmackDown is the better show, right? I'm a SmackDown guy.
Okay.
Even I know night and day, right? SmackDown is the fucking superior show between Raw. Raw is fucking dog shit. It's unbearable.
You got the worst rating.
It's unbearable. It's too long. The storylines are convoluted. None of the characters are believable. And I can't stand anybody in the fucking roster.
This is on Raw.
Yeah, Raw.
You can't stand Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins came out
wearing a new coat this week, looking like fucking yeah. Mr. Furley and shit. But
Seth
hey,
Rollins,
we're about
Seth
to
Rollins,
go off the air for those of you
yeah,
listening
to
us live. And so let's do the station
too,
ID and we can come back and talk about all that itches you.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Seth Rollins. You tell me you don't like Seth Rollins out there berating everybody? Christian from Philly.
What he did no, I don't like it. What he did 2 weeks ago was great. He acted crazy. He attacked Cesaro with no remorse. That shit was good. But when he opens his mouth, he shits the bed. That promo he did was terrible. If he just stops talking,
don't say
he
it,
would be
Mister,
good.
Don't say it.
If he would stop talking, he would be good. If he would just start attacking people without saying anything, he would be
good. But when he opens his mouth and cuts these terrible promos of cringe where they do a fake siren and fake crying, that's when he fucking ruins himself. That segment he did was terrible. That promo was terrible. He's awful when it comes to segments. He's awful.
Kevier, have you seen that Rollins lately? His promo?
No, last time I saw him was at the pay-per-view, at the end of the pay-per-view. And so I didn't see – I've watched the SmackDown highlights, but, I mean, he wasn't even featured on the WWE SmackDown highlights from what I saw, so I didn't get to catch up on him. I don't watch SmackDown anymore, the full show, but I guess I could. No, I mean, I like Seth Rollins. All these guys are cool. They could always come back. He could always be cool. But right now,
he is featured, bro. You just didn't let it go long enough. You have to let that motherfucker go a good while.
Really? Yeah, maybe I just.
It's like that's how far on the totem pole he's gone.
Yeah, and it's sad. He was Monday Night Raw for a little while there. He was like the guy to tune in to see, and he's not. He's a shell of his former self. But hopefully, like Albert said, when he comes back, we get this redemption story and a husband and wife ultimate power couple of wrestling. That'd be cool. With a live sex celebration. No, I'm just kidding. But on that note, I do have to bow out for the night, guys. I would love to do overtime longer, but I gotta count myself out and get ready because I'm like covered in off body spray, like the off bug spray right now, and it's getting to your boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West.
I said off body spray. Like it's a, ooh, what fragrance are you wearing? It's off. But anyways. I'll talk to you guys next week at 9 on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West. What the hell?
And on that note, I have to go also. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Christian from Philly. Have a good fucking weekend, you motherfuckers. See you next week.
Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend. And ladies and gentlemen, the Swami. Albert inspected.
Well, let me tell you something. Watch AEW. Watch WWE. Hope for the best from both companies. God bless Mr. McMahon. God bless America. God bless the Minister of Sinister. God bless Fatal Four. God bless Shiner Blackbeard. That's what I've been having tonight. But
God bless. Wow, Albert. But, the resident liberal. God bless America. Hey. And thank you so much for joining us. It's great of you to join us each and every week right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am Internet Radio Zone, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.